This is the North Sound Energy Week podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Energy Week podcast. I'm Fiona Winchester. An exciting week which has seen a historic announcement about the fossil fuel levy. New possibilities have opened up for carbon capture at Peterhead, and the Chamber of Commerce oil and gas survey was revealed. The biggest announcement of the week was the agreement reached between Holyrood and Westminster over the £200 million fossil fuel levy. The money from Scotland's energy revenue has been held in a Treasury bank account since 1996. The SNP government will now be able to access £100 million of that money, with the other half going towards setting up a green investment bank. We spoke with First Minister Alex Salmond moments after the announcement.
I mean, this is Scotland's money, of course, and for 4 years we've been trying to extract it from a London bank account. We didn't get any joy with the last Labour government, but eventually we put a deal to the Tory-led coalition whereby we would get half and we'd give them half to set up the Green Investment Bank, or help set it up. So, it's 50%, but it is a great advance for Scotland. It's a vital moment because we need that injection of money into infrastructure and renewables around the coastline of Scotland. I suppose we could reflect on the fact if we were in control of our own affairs fully, then we would have 100%, not 50%. But nonetheless, 50% of something is better than no percent, and allowing the money to lie in a London bank account forever. So it's a settlement we've come to. It's a great victory. It's a great step forward. I suppose a lot of folk might think, you know, why can't Scotland get 100% of its own money as opposed to 50%?
Well, it's been a very exciting time. In the past few weeks, our heads have just been spinning with all the different energy announcements, you know, so something like this can only, you know, boost that and make it continue even more for Scotland.
Well, let's talk about what we intend to do with the money, because we've been planning for this for ages in the expectation of winning a breakthrough. It's going to touch the coastline right around the country. I mean, this is going to touch places like Hunterston, like Macrahanish, like Leith, where we announced the master plan yesterday, like Dundee, which is hugely important, Aberdeen, the northeast ports, Nigg, round the Highland ports. Obviously, there's a lot of investment to be done to make sure our port infrastructure is capable of handling the extent of the marine renewable revolution that's coming in Scotland. And I think it's time that we had an end to these sort of naysayers, these doom mongers from London who crop up occasionally and say this can't be done. It's going to be done. Scottish marine renewables are the most competitive in the world. They're going to be developed. The electricity they're going to generate is going to be required across the European continent, never mind in England. And that's what's going to happen. And getting the access to this capital fund of Scotland's own money, our own fossil fuel levy, at least 50% of it, is a substantial step forward, and it's going to touch the lives of the coastal communities of Scotland. So I think it's a big day. We can reflect on the 50% we're not getting, but perhaps we should concentrate on the 50% we are getting.
The other 50% that is going into the Green Investment Bank, there has been long been a case for having the HQ for that bank here in Scotland.
That was part of my pitch when I suggested this compromise. The second bit was, look, if we are helping to capitalise it, it isn't an argument for having it located in Scotland. We'll take our chances with the Green Investment Bank on the loans it gives, because we've got the best renewable projects. We're fully confident about that. The Treasury wouldn't agree to that, but nonetheless, I think it obviously strengthens the case for the Green Investment Bank being headquartered in Scotland, because, you know, we are over and above our contribution as taxpayers. This is a special Scottish contribution to help capitalise the bank. So, you know, that seems to me a good reason, a compelling reason why that bank should be located in Scotland. So let's hope for the best on that one. I couldn't get agreement on that, but it certainly strengthens our case, does it not?
It's been a long time coming, this, as you've said. You know, a lot of negotiations, a day that some people said may never come. Straight, this spells the strength that Scotland has now in when we go to Westminster and say this is what we want to do as a country.
Yeah, I mean, I think people should reflect on that. This is about the mobilisation of strength of the Scottish people. We're now a political force to be reckoned with. We can't be dismissed or cast aside as we have been in the past. It's worth reflecting also what this money is. That this is money paid by Scottish generators over the last few years in the fossil fuel levy. and paid into a bank account that's run by Ofgem in London, and it's been sitting there piling up for the last 7 or 8 years, and it's got about 4 or 5 years to go. So we now get access and are able to spend. Previously they said, yeah, you can have the money, but we'll deduct it from health and education. So we now get access to half of that and are able to spend it, and that's where the money comes from. But this is Scottish money, generated in Scotland from Scottish generators, paid for by Scottish companies and companies active in Scotland, that came from the proceeds of Longannet and Peterhead and the other fossil fuel stations. So that's where it came from. And now, thankfully, it's going, at least half of it is certainly going into investment in the green renewable future around the coastline of Scotland. I believe that we can enable the infrastructure to be correct, then tens of thousands of jobs are going to follow. And I know that, you know, some folks say it'll never happen, it can't happen, this thing and the next thing. It's going to happen. That's just the way it's going to be. And it's going to be the reindustrialization of the coastal communities of Scotland with real jobs and jobs for the future, and jobs, incidentally, that are compatible with harnessing the great resources that can be developed in a way which is compliant with the future of the planet. What could be better than that?
Chancellor George Osborne made the announcement on a visit to the Nigg Yard in Easter Ross. He pledged a commitment to supporting the energy industry in Scotland.
Well, we've announced that the UK government is releasing over £100 million that is going to go into the Scottish economy, go and help create jobs in Scotland in the green energy sector, so that we not only have clean and cheaper electricity for people across Scotland, but we also have lots of jobs. And this argument about the use of this money has been going on for years. The last Labour government in Westminster was unable to resolve it. I'm delighted that myself and the MP for Inverness and the Chief Secretary, Danny Alexander, have been able to fix the problem. But I think it shows that the Scottish government and the UK government can work together when it comes to fixing economic problems, getting investment in the industries of the future. We have real disagreements about the future constitutional position of Scotland. I think an independent Scotland would do real damage to the Scottish economy and cost jobs in Scotland. But that's an argument for another day. Today, we want to get jobs and that green energy industry going, and we've been able to resolve this problem, get the money flowing, and that's the important thing. I think the signal is that the UK government cares passionately about the Scottish economy. We care passionately about industries like green energy here in the north of Scotland. I'm here as the UK Chancellor in the north of Scotland to throw the full resources of the British government, the whole British government, behind Scotland. And it shows that we can work and respect the role of the Scottish government in Holyrood in doing all of that. And I think that is a model for Scotland's future, rather than Scotland trying to go alone as an independent country with a weaker economy, with many jobs lost. Look around the world at the problems that many countries are facing. It is much better we stick together in facing those problems. My priority this autumn is to ensure Britain can weather the international storm, which you see countries like Italy and France now dealing with, but also to get the housing industry going so people can buy homes and there can be construction jobs, to get roads being built and infrastructure being put down, to make sure that money is flowing to small businesses. These are my priorities this autumn, not the 50p tax rate.
Chief Secretary to the Treasury, Danny Alexander, accompanied him on the visit in his own constituency and echoed the Chancellor's sentiment.
Well, this announcement is prompted by the belief that we have that the renewables industry in Scotland has the possibility to drive forward growth, to help create jobs, create employment for thousands of people potentially here in the north of Scotland. And we have an opportunity through this announcement for the UK government to help support and kickstart that investment by making new resources available to the Scottish government. They can invest in places like Nigg to really help drive that industry forward. And of course, we all know it's one of the key industries for the future of the Highlands and Islands. I think it's a very important signal that, you know, on issues about jobs, on issues about growth, that the UK government and the Scottish government can work very productively together. That's what we've done over the last few months to resolve what's been a dispute that's dragged on for 15 years, unresolved by the previous Labour government. And, you know, with George Osborne coming here today, it's a very strong signal of the commitment that the government has within the United Kingdom to doing our best to support the industries and the sectors that can really drive the Scottish economy forward. That's the key message, I think, of today. One of the fantastic things about what Global Energy are planning to do here at Nigg is that it's the same skills in the oil and gas sector and the renewable sector. It's the same people able to work, transfer those skills between the industries. But, you know, as a country, we need to you know, make our energy production more renewable. And that's why there'll be offshore wind turbines, there'll be tidal generation in the Pentland Firth. Those are all things that are going to make a real, real difference to Scotland over the years. And we need to make sure that Scotland and the Highlands in particular stays in the lead in that sector. And that's what we're trying to do with this announcement today.
The big news came just 2 days after the announcement of a new partnership which could now well benefit from that money. Shell and Scottish and Southern Energy revealed they will join together to invest in a carbon capture and storage facility at Peterhead Power Station. The scheme is designed to cut emissions by pumping them back into oil and gas fields. The pioneers of the new green technology have been searching for a pilot plant for years. Richard Dixon from WWF Scotland told me Peterhead could well be it.
This is clearly good news. This adds even more credibility to the bid for carbon capture and storage at Peterhead, so a major oil company joining with a major energy company. And I think this really does put Peterhead at the top of the queue for the government money that's going to help create a trial of carbon capture. So when the Longannet scheme fell through, Chris Huhne stood up in Parliament and announced that that's what was happening. But the only other scheme he mentioned was Peterhead as a strong candidate. So I think this makes it even stronger. So, and I think Chris Huhne, as Energy Minister, has to show that he's going to regain some of his green credentials and actually make one of these carbon capture trials start and actually work. And I think Peterhead is a very strong candidate because it's an existing power station. It's two very strong companies who you would expect would be able to deliver. So I think this is a very strong indication that Peterhead is at the top of the queue.
But as you say, at the top of the queue for that government money, I suppose, is that all important? Will they deliver with this money after Longannet and things like that?
Yeah, so I think obviously the falling through of the Longannet proposal was a real disappointment to us. That was a very well thought out scheme, and that really was the place the government should have spent its money. But looking at the other proposals around, I think Peterhead is pretty much certainly the top of the pile in terms of the next credible one that really will demonstrate something useful. And as I say, Chris Huhne's really got to demonstrate that he can move on from Longannet and still get something moving quite rapidly. So I think as long as the Peterhead proposal looks credible, I think it's got a very good chance indeed of getting that money from the government and becoming the first trial of carbon capture in the UK. And with Shell coming on board, I think that credibility is assured.
And we've been speaking for some time about this possibility at Peterhead, but for those who, you know, aren't aware, as it perhaps gets a bit closer, could you just run through for me, you know, the basic principles of carbon capture?
Yeah, so the idea at Peterhead would be, of course, we've got an existing gas-fired power station. It's one of Scotland's largest power stations, provides lots of power for Scotland. And what you'd do is you would cover part of the plant. So there's a number of turbines at the plant that make up the power station. And one of those, you would take the gases that come out of that, and you'd use a chemical process to strip out the carbon. And then you can actually take that carbon dioxide and you pump it out to the North Sea. So that's why Shell is coming on as a partner. You'd pump it out and pump it down an old oil well, and you would store it there. So what we're trying to do with the trial is test out all of that stuff. So you're testing out the chemistry to see how efficient you can make it work to take out carbon dioxide. You're testing, can you really compress it and put it through the pipes? Probably, almost certainly. When you put it into the oil well, how do you inject it? Are you sure it's staying there? So that's all the stuff we want to test, because this could be a very important technology around the world. And so in this case, it would be about 400 megawatts of the plant's output that would be covered. And that's probably about a fifth of what the plant is producing. So about a fifth of the CO2 would be taken out by this process. So it's only a trial scale thing, but it would be very useful in terms of showing the way to develop this on a full scale in the future.
So as you say, there's quite a way to go along the road. How quickly would you like to see the first steps being taken to, you know, really get this going?
Well, we know that Scottish and Southern Energy have done a lot of work already, because, of course, this was a proposal that was around when BP was a partner in it 3 or 4 years ago, and the UK government decided it wasn't interested in gas stations taking part in carbon capture trials, and so it was ruled out at that point. So actually, had it gone ahead at that point, it probably could have been up and running by now. So they've done a lot of that work. And they need to do more work. So although they're investing some more of their own money in some of the feasibility work, they'll need quite a bit of government money and some of their own money to work up the full plans to prove that it's all viable. and then they would hope to get the £1 billion that the government has sitting there waiting to go for carbon capture and storage. So it does take some time. It's probably a year's more work to prove the feasibility, do the detailed design work. But then if the government moved quickly, we could probably actually start building something there in 2013 if things move rapidly. So that would be great to see that actually starting to happen.
The UK government said £1 billion was available for the failed plan at Longannet. Banff and Buchan SNP MSP Stuart Stevenson, who's also Environment Minister in the Scottish Government, told us the same investment should be available for Peterhead.
For the power station at Peterhead, the news that Scottish and Southern have now got progress on carbon capture is extremely welcome. That will be jobs for our community. That will secure the long-term future of a very important part of local infrastructure. The future of gas will depend on carbon capture, and the UK government has ambitious targets it must meet. Supporting Peterhead is the easiest way for it to make progress. The Treasury have made £1 billion available for a Scottish project. This is a vital Scottish project with a UK implication. But at this stage, we've got SSE investing their own money in a very big project indeed. The government should stand ready to support it.
North East Labour MSP Lewis MacDonald also welcomed the news, but insisted the scheme must be properly supported.
This is very good news. It confirms that the North Sea will have a role in carbon capture and storage going forward, and potentially that will be a service that the North Sea can provide not just to Scotland but to Europe more widely. So very good news indeed, and it's good to see Peterhead back in the frame. There was a Peterhead project a number of years ago that stalled. And then Longannet came forward, a coal-fired power station, and carbon capture and storage was being promoted there, with the storage to be in the North Sea again. But unfortunately, as we know, the Westminster government cancelled that project a couple of weeks ago. So it's very good news that the momentum has not been lost, and we have SSE and Shell coming together to bring forward this proposal.
And just how important is it that, they get the support that they need for this? Because as you've said, we've been in this position before with BP and they ended up pulling out because of the lack of support.
The BP project didn't go forward, and at Longannet we got to a position where the UK government, the previous UK government, had committed up to £1 billion, and the present UK government wasn't prepared to go beyond that, and simply the commercial partners, Scottish Power and their partners, did not believe they could make that project run without a higher level of subsidy. Now, what has been said today very clearly is that this project, Peterhead, can only run with substantial subsidy, both from the UK government and from the European Union. So I think the commercial partners are making that clear from the outset, and it's up to ministers at the UK government and also to the European Union to bring forward that support. And clearly we'd look to the Scottish government to press both of those on that as well, to make sure that that support is there. The potential prize here is enormous if it can be demonstrated that carbon capture can work at scale and that the North Sea is the best place to store the captured carbon. Now, clearly there's no guarantee about that, but the potential is huge, and so it's worth government making a significant investment at this stage to make it happen.
And would you urge, obviously time's going on, and if, say, that BP project had gone ahead, we could be underway and finding out if the pilot was going to work by now. So there's a time scale, obviously, here. Would you urge all of the, both governments and European partners to really, get underway with this as quickly as possible?
Yes, there is a time scale question here. The European Union has invited bids for carbon capture projects. This is one of them. Longannet has been taken out of the bidding, and therefore that means there's one less UK bid, and the UK government itself has £1 billion which it intended to give to Longannet, which is not now putting to that end. So clearly the resource is there, but the time pressure is there too, and the sooner decisions are made and agreement is reached to allow this project to progress, the better for all concerned.
Earlier in the week, the 15th annual Aberdeen and Grampian Chamber of Commerce Oil and Gas Survey was published. The message throughout was confidence and investment in the industry is still being hampered by the windfall tax. The report shows the development of fields could be at risk because of a £2 billion hike on the sector. Bob Ruddiman, who's head of energy at McGregor's, admits the industry faces a challenging time ahead.
Yes, it's I think got some hard-hitting messages in it. The headline is that 50% of the operators are reporting that confidence was hit by the tax grab in the spring. Cliff mentioned in his coverage the Commons Select Committee have also used the word opportunistic in respect of the tax grab, but I think we need to move on from there. We need to learn from that, make sure it doesn't happen again, and focus on the opportunities for the supply chain. There's clearly a recurring theme around a shortage of skills, but I think we have to see that as a huge opportunity. If we can invest in training people, there is work there for them. There's a lot of opportunity overseas as well as in the UK. One of the findings was that there's more confidence from the supply chain about utilisation of people overseas. So we need to work and get to a point where we're utilising everyone in the UK and also overseas. I think we also need to look at some of the messages around where the demand for skills is and make sure that as the Grampian region and beyond into Scotland, the UK, we're training people who are fit to work in the offshore energy sector, whether it be oil and gas or some of the emerging renewable technologies, and I think we need to just pause and reflect upon that. You know, the global economy is in a difficult place at the moment, but we're hearing a message here which is that there is a demand for skills in oil and gas and in wider energy, and we need to make sure that we capitalise upon that and put in place a regime where we can be confident to make the investment and to give people the future in energy. I think there is something there really to work with. It's too easy perhaps to focus on the negative headline, but I do think, you know, it's a difficult time. Capital is going to be constrained across Europe and beyond, and we need to just put our flag in the ground and say this is an opportunity for Grampian region, and we need to capitalise upon it. Well, one of the pieces that's come out of this is in certain skilled offshore work, there's been an increase in wages, in the packages that people are being offered, and that's because there's not enough talent to go around. So we need to be investing to make sure that there is enough talent, and that's not going to happen overnight, but we need to do that, and we need to have a generation coming through confident that energy will give them the good living that some of the forebears have had. You know, when you look at the unemployment statistics in Aberdeen and the Grampian region, that's very good. There is a lot of employment, but there's scope for more employment, I think, is the message coming out of this, and we should take great confidence from the employment we've had over the last two decades and make sure we're investing to have more of that in the future.
And that's the Energy Week podcast. I'm Fiona Winchester.
This is the North Sound Energy Week podcast.